Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. By VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. By Polar, blood, sweat, and data. Premium Plus Sports, our official travel agency. That's premiumplus-sports.com. USA-swimrun.com. If you haven't tried a swim run event, check out the calendar. Find a swim run event near you. Our Challenge Athletes Foundation. This last year, we sent out 2,806 grants, totaling $4.3 million. Keep Challenge Athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest has a pretty amazing background. He's done 34 full Ironmans with an 8:56 PR at the age of 47, 3 Ultraman. This is his 30th season in the sport of triathlon, and 7 times at Kona, PR there of 9:21. He has become a coach as well as an athlete. Arno Silikoff joins us from France. Arno, how are you doing?
I'm very well, Bob. Thank you very much.
Wow, you are very welcome. So, first of all, take me back. What were your sports growing up? What were you into before you got into this whole endurance thing?
Well, nothing.
Nothing?
When I was a kid, no, nothing. I never did any sport when I was a kid. I was living in a family where sport was absolutely not in the tradition. And the only sport I was basically doing was watching the sports on the TV, and you know, in the early 80s in France, there was not much choice, and I never really been into sport. Even when I was at school, I remember my sport teacher once wrote in my school booklet that I haven't certainly not reached my peak. So
that's for sure.
And I just pick up sport actually when I was doing my army, because at this time we still have to do a 1 year army time in France.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I started running. My first ever run I can remember was a 400 meters run, and I've been sore for a week after. So a bit of water went under the bridge since, and it has been a life changing experience for me.
So is it one of those things where you look at it now and go, gosh, I wish I had gotten in the sport when I was in high school or college, or, gosh, I'm glad I waited because I've sort of preserved my body. I didn't beat myself up running, and now I'm loving this and I'm healthy.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, sometimes I'm always wondering because, I mean, today I'm reaching 50 in a couple of months, and I think I'm the fittest I ever been in my life. And I always wonder what I could have done with my body if I have been starting sport a bit early. But I mean, you are completely right. Maybe I would have been starting early. Maybe I would have been injured. Maybe mm-hmm. I would have lost the drive for it. In one way, last year we celebrated the 8th birthday of my father, and I wrote something for him, and I told him at some point that I still have some anger against him at some point that he never pushed me to do any sport. But on the other hand, somehow it has preserved me, and I'm barely injured. When I'm injured, it's basically because I have a bike crash or something like that. But I have the chance to have a body which is very fresh, and despite many, I mean, I had a big accident when I was in 2002. I was building my house and I crashed from the roof and I broke L2.
Ooh.
So, and I spent six months in a brace and 11 days without knowing if I can walk again. So despite that, despite this accident, despite all that, I'm still very fresh physically, and I still have, you know, I still want more, and I still believe that we can very much improve even when you are growing older. I mean, if you are a bit smarter with your training, with your nutrition, and the way you are living, I think that, I mean, you are an example, and many, many people are a great example also, that we can still perform when we are older.
So one of the things that I noticed, you're doing camps, and you've become a coach. And how did that happen? Obviously, you're having success as an athlete. When did the coaching come into this?
I've been spending almost 12 years in Singapore. I was an expat there. I was working there, and this is where I restarted training more seriously because I was having a bit more time, and everything was falling into place. And already 10, 15 years ago, I was already for almost 20 years in this sport, and few people of the expat community in Singapore, they wanted to pick up triathlon because very little sport talk fitness and healthy lifestyle more than triathlon. And this guy, they came to me and they asked me if I can help them to prepare for this race, because Asia, the location of Singapore, you are perfectly located between the new race coming in Asia and the older race in New Zealand and in Australia and all that. So most people, and Ironman was quite big and challenge was coming, so more people wanted to have a challenge, to try to challenge themselves. And they came to me, and at the beginning I was just helping a few friends, and at some point one of them just told me, he said, "Well, Arno, I think what you are doing is, you have a different way of some other coach. Maybe you should try to think about doing it a bit more seriously and making a small business out of it." So this is how it started pretty much 10 years ago. And I never wanted to have a big squad. For me, it was always about quality more than quantity. It's gratifying when you have a guy coming to see you that basically can almost not ride for 40 kilometers on the bike without bonking or being broken. And then a few years after, you they are with you on Digby Beach at the start of Kona. So it's really something that I love. It's something that I enjoy. And at the moment, it's my main source of income. So it's going well. My squad is still quite limited in terms of number. We are about 20 athletes. I have guys from everywhere and any kind of horizon. The only thing, my only request is motivation. So, it's going well. And in the coming, at the beginning of 2019, I will be running a camp in Oman.
In Oman? That's...
Yeah, it's...
It's when people think of triathlon camp, they think, okay, Maui or Tucson or Bend, but Oman is not necessarily something to come to the top of the list. But when I was reading this, it sounds like you've got great roads, lots of trails, lots of climbing, beautiful places to swim. It sounds like a pretty great spot.
Yeah, it's a lovely place. I've been there. The first time I've been there was in 2008 for another job. And when I arrived in Oman, I was so surprised about the quality of this country. You know, the image we have very often from the Middle East is this big sandy
right.
country with big city like Dubai or Abu Dhabi. Oman is very different. Oman is a very traditional country. I mean, in a good way, in the way that the city, they don't look like Manhattan or Dubai or whatever. It's very traditionally built. The people are amazing. And the geography of the country is very different because it's a big country. You have very, it's a bit like, sometimes I compare it a bit like the Big Island where you have a lot of different climate. First of all, it's a bit cooler than Dubai. I would say if you come from Dubai to Muscat, it's just like 600 kilometers, but you can easily have 4 or 5 degrees difference cooler.
Wow. Yeah.
You have a lot of mountain. You can go up to 3,000 meters elevation. The trails are fantastic, and the sea is just stunning. And this is a country which is very mild in terms of the what you can find in the Middle East, and that you don't have a big density of population, and the networks of road and everything is just fantastic. And the place where the camp will be hosted is at the Shangri-La in Muscat. We are just outside of Muscat, which is you have a international airport there, and the site is fantastic. It's a big hotel. There is a 500 meters artificial river where we can swim. We have swimming pool. The sea, of course, is beautiful, and you have direct access to the road. And the good thing, in, and the reason why we've placed this camp 22 to 26 February, is first of all because this is the winter there, so the temperature is pretty mild. I would say it will be everywhere between 22 and 30 degrees. And 1 week after the camp, there is the new 70.3 Oman, which is arriving there. So it's the perfect balance, the location for the people who just want to have a different experience of the Middle East, or some people who just want to experience training, because the guarantee of the weather is it's 100%. It's, I think Oman is like 350 days a year of sunshine, and every people I've taken there, they always think about the beauty of the country and the way that the local people are welcoming us. And it's really amazing. I know Faris Al Sultan, the coach of Patrick Lange, is going there time to time. A lot of pro cycling team are going there because the roads are super safe, and we know that in many countries in the world today it's a bit of a problem. And I really love the place. I love the people and the location. Yes, it's fantastic.
So you do your camp, and then people do the 70.3 right afterwards?
Yeah, there is. I mean, most of the people who will come to will come to the camp are going to do the weekend after, because this is Middle East, so the weekend is Friday and Saturday.
Oh, right.
So the camp is actually Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then for the people who are going to do the 70.3, the program of the camp will be a bit different. So we are going to do more like speed work and riding on the course, swimming on the course, and running around. And I mean, a lot of question and answer about the racing, because in this country you have a lot of people who are, I mean, a bit older in the triathlon, and they know what they are doing. But you have also a lot of people who are very newcomer to the triathlon. I mean, you were in Kona, and there was the king of Bahrain. And I mean, this country, there is a lot of people coming to triathlon because they have massive health problem about diabetes and obesity and all this stuff. I think triathlon is a very good support for the message about having a healthy lifestyle. And so the camp, today we have pretty much 50% of the people who are just coming for the camp. And then they are going to stay a bit before or a bit after, because it's a fantastic family destination. And we have also people who are more coming in a competitive way. They just want to finish their taper and have some good insight on the race, staying at the hotel, doing the camp, and then having 3-4 days more relaxed, where I will still be there and I will be available for the athlete who want to get a bit more. And then we will do the 70.3 in Oman, which is a fantastic occasion to be able to qualify for Nice, because I think there will be a fair bit of slot. And for the people coming from Australia, New Zealand, or Europe, it's a good occasion to grab a slot.
You mentioned the issues in Oman, and I think it's throughout the Middle East, in terms of obesity and diabetes. I remember I was in Abu Dhabi and actually in Dubai, and they both had Formula One tracks, and they're using those Formula One tracks for, they would block those off one evening a week for people to run and ride, and they really are trying to use the sport of triathlon to address those issues. Have you seen some success through that?
Yeah, I mean, Abu Dhabi and Bahrain, they are very different countries. I mean, you know, if you've been to Dubai, when you don't want to go cycling on the main road in Dubai, because it's dangerous.
Right.
You have this fantastic track that has been built in the desert. It's like 70 or 80 kilometers of track that has been built, reserved for the bike, and it's great. It's super safe, but it's a bit on the outskirts of the town, so you need to take your car to get there. The biggest difference with Oman is you can ride pretty much everywhere. It's the density of population is much less, and the network of road, and it's very easy to, I mean, after 10, 15 kilometers, you are completely outside of the city, and you have a lot of very nice road, very quiet. So, and, you know, Dubai, it's a new built city. I mean, 25 years ago, it was still a fisherman village. Muscat is a very old city. It was there like a century ago, two centuries ago. So you have a different network, and the country, the hill, the mountain, and everything, make it for a fantastic place to ride. And what I found every time I'm going there, you see more and more people cycling, you see more and more people having an active lifestyle, and I think it's very encouraging because, I mean, a lot of women also are practicing the sport there, and it's great to see that. It's great to see young people embracing triathlon. Because for me, I mean, honestly, triathlon has really changed my life. And if we can help people to do the same and have a better life, I mean, we just have to do it, right?
So will you be? Are you at Ultraman this year?
No.
No Ultraman this year. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have loved to be at Ultraman, but you know, I still believe that one Ultraman a year it's
a lot. Yeah, it is
and,
a lot.
Yeah, I've done already 3 full. I've raced the ITU long course, which is not an Ironman, but it's still a decent racing. And I'm doing Busselton in 2 weeks' time.
Oh my God!
So that's going to be 4 full, 1 ultra, and maybe 5 or 6 halves. So I mean, it's basically what I'm doing every year. But I think I would have loved to be in Hawaii, but you know, coming from France to go to Hawaii,
long way.
It's a bloody long way. It's 12 hours jet lag. It's a lot of money also. And last year I did the double Kona and Ultraman. I think my position was where I was ranking last year to finish third. But maybe I would have had a better run if I didn't have to push that hard on day two.
Right.
And I had to push that hard on day two because I was certainly a bit tired after. After the big season, especially after Kona, because I mean, sometimes you know, I mean, I always take Kona a bit differently than any other Ironman because you live so much there, and of course this year we had better condition, but that's still a very tough race, and the pressure going in and the preparation and everything, so it's very hard to peak in mid-October and then to have another fantastic day because if you want to go to Ultraman World Champ, I mean, for me, I want to go there to. Be able to finish on the podium at least, so I don't want to, you know, to be there and have a 12-hour marathon. And it's, you know, running back from Avi is a long way.
It is a long way. So the other event this year that interests me, it's an iron distance event in Chamonix with 6,000 meters in elevation that you won.
Yeah, that's actually was last year. Was in 2017. So last year I did this race. It's a friend of mine who organized it. It's called Evergreen 228. And they do not promote it as a very hard race, but it's based in Chamonix. And everybody who knows Chamonix, you know there is no flat road whatsoever around. And the bike course, it was just mind-blowing because I think it's about 6,000 over meters of elevation. We had like 7 or 8 paths to climb.
Wow.
And to add it, on race day, we had the worst weather, the worst day of summer. It was crazy. It was pissing rain from the morning. And, I can ride a bike. And in Kona this year, I rode 4:39. But there, I had the fastest bike split, and I rode 8:24.
Oh, my God. And it's 112 miles.
Yes. So it gives you an idea. And we went on top of a pass. It was so freaking cold. I had to stop and piss in my shoes to warm them up before the descent. So just to give you an idea of the condition we had, it was crazy.
So wait, you had to pee in your shoes to warm up your feet?
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard that before. That's great.
No, me neither. But you know, sometimes the mean you have no other solution. It was hard, but it's the race didn't happen in 2018 because they had a big sponsor who pulled out. But the race has been confirmed again for 2019, and for everybody who want to do something very different. I mean, it's very much like you know, the race in Norway and the
Norseman,
the Norseman. It's it's cold water swimming because in Chamonix area you don't have much warm lake, and the bike course it's properly mind blowing, and the run course it's even worse because there is 2,500 meters elevation on the run course, and the winner time of the run course is about 6:25 for the 42K.
Wait, 6:25 for the run.
Yeah. So there is a fair bit of climbing. You start at night and you finish, usually it's about midnight. So you are very much on your own. You know, it's a different spirit from other kind of big race like Roth or Kona or this thing, because last year I didn't see anybody during the whole ride. I was on my own. I just have the motorcycle in front of me opening the road, but it's, you know, smaller. It's very much like Ultraman event. You know, you are on your own.
Right.
You just have few aid stations at some place, and you really have to fight more against yourself and your demon than the other competitor. And there is always very strong guy, because the guy who had the second fastest bike speed, he was the next professional cyclist. I think the guy did one of the Grand Tour. I think it was the Giro.
Right.
But it's, you know, you have competition, but it's a different way of competition. And the friendship you have, the friendship you make for this kind of race like Ultraman. You know, I've done only 3 Ultraman and 34 full. And I think I made more friends in the 3 Ultraman than my 34 full.
Yes, I'm sure.
So, you know, it's a different spirit, and I really love that. If I can, I would just do Ultraman at the moment. But to be honest, I still love the speed, and I still love the fight. And this year in Roth, I did 9 hours 0:37, and it's still haunting me. So I will have to go back next year to find this 37 seconds and see how fast we can go when we are 50.
So at the age of 50, you'd like to go sub nine at Giroth. That would be great.
I've been sub nine at 45 the first time. I've been sub nine at 47, and I would like, this year I was just 37 seconds. You know, on a course like Roth, it's hard because you say 37 seconds. Of course, you can sound 37 seconds. And I was really disappointed with my race because, you know, the new course in Roth, it's part of the old course, and then we have another loop of the last year course, which is a bit slower, I think. And I was really disappointed because when I was like 5 kilometers from the finish, I started making some calculation, and I think at some point I just gave up on my race. I just, you know, I was just thinking, I'm not going to go sub nine, so I mean, doesn't matter. You can stop and have a Coke, and you can stop have a wee if you want. And I did stop at an aid station, and when I crossed the finish line, I have seen that I just missed my my goal by 37 seconds. And normally I never gave up on anything. I never stop. I never, and you know, sometimes, you know, the race condition make you, and I took this bad decision, and it's still haunting me. And that's why I think I'm training harder than I ever trained, just to try to be back and found this 37 seconds.
Well, what's fascinating to me when we look at triathlon, it is, I call the sport the fountain of youth. People can actually get fitter and faster as they age. You are more on a plant-based diet now. What have been the changes you've made that have kept you competitive at the age of, basically, you're just about 50?
Yeah, I've turned vegetarian almost 9 years ago now, and it was the first, I mean, the reason why we decided to, I decided to become a vegetarian was more for ethical reason than anything else. And we were living in Asia, Singapore, everything is imported, so it was very complicated to try to get, you know, the proper food.
Right.
And you know, the more you read the label, the more you see there is chemical, the more you think it has been imported from the other side of the world. And I just didn't want to be part of that. And a bit more than a year ago, I switched completely to a vegan diet, just because, you know, I was thinking, okay, the ethical reason, I'm not eating meat anymore, but I'm doing my part. And then when you start to scratch on it, you see the dairy industry, you see a lot of things. And I didn't want to find myself saying I'm part of the carnage, I'm part of the exploitation of animals. And then once you start to think of it, we are the only species on Earth which is still taking milk once we are adult. And we are the only species which is taking milk from another species. And for me, at some point, it was just not making sense anymore. And I decided to cut completely the any animal product from my diet. And it has been the biggest change I ever made in my life because I never recovered that well. And I think I'm just feeling better anyway. And, you know, when we say, oh, I'm feeling better, it's very hard to quantify. But, you know, following my accident, when you break your vertebra, you always have pain when you wake up in the morning. You are always a bit stiff. And, you know, and since I've changed my diet, I don't know the reason. I have no medical explanation, but I've sorted a lot of small problems. I was always having a dodgy knee. This is gone. My back doesn't give me any problem anymore. And I was having some skin issue that I was carrying for ages since I was living in Asia.
Yeah.
And all that has been sorted. And in 8 years that I haven't touched a piece of meat, and in 1 year that we haven't touched an animal product, we haven't been sick. Nothing.
Wow, that's good.
Not a cold. Yeah, not a cold, not a flu. So it's not scientific proof. But for me,
it works for you.
Good enough. Exactly. It works for me. And, you know, we are living in France today. We are in the countryside. We have cows around. We have all the animals. And as stupid as it can be, I can look at them in the eyes. And, I mean, I don't want to be part of that. And it makes me happy. So, I mean, and I really think that it works well for me. I'm feeling much lighter. And I'm physically lighter also a bit. And so... Yeah, I think it's good, and I really enjoy it.
Love it. So, Arno, in terms of people finding out information on your camps or to have you, you know, coach them, where can they go?
So, I have a website which is called 859 Coaching.
859 Coaching, okay.
Yeah, because a lot of people are asking me about the name, but, you know, when you do Ironman, Iron Distance,
yes.
And when you go Sunline, you are talking to people, right?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And so I think the people who understand the meaning of the
yep.
name of the coaching, they know what they are in for. So 859 Coaching on Facebook, also 859 Coaching on Instagram, also, and myself, Arno Selukov, on Facebook, and they can send me a message and I will reply. I still have a couple of spots open in my squad, so everybody's welcome.
Love it. Arno, it was great meeting you at Kona last year, and thanks so much for doing what you're doing. I love bringing new people into the sport, and I do feel when you go to a place like Oman and people who are not attached to our sport get to see how fit other people are who are doing the sport,
yeah.
it changes them, and that
yeah.
having those role models is really, really important.
Thank you very much, Bob, and we really appreciate for everything you do. And this year I was in Kona, and I really enjoyed your breakfast with Bob, and I was sitting there pretty much every day, and it's fantastic to be able to see the new legend, the older legend, and it's great, and I love spending time with you guys. And thank you for your time today. Thank you.
No problem. Arno Selukov has been our guest. Again, we're talking 859 Coaching. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, by Polar, Blood, Sweat, and Data, Premium Plus Sports, Swim Run USA, and our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We just sent out 2,806 grants, totaling $4.3 million to keep challenge athletes in the game alive through sport. Check out any of our interviews on BamaVille.com or on iTunes. And until next time, remember, endurance lives here.